Welcome back to Swanner and Judd Review. I'm Tom Swanner.
This is Brian Judd.
And, well, it's been a huge week.
Huge.
Yeah, it's not really. And there's been a few things, but let's see. The Spring Baking Championship. I found out that I watched the last episode and completely forgot everything that happened on it. So I had to go back and watch.
Shocking.
I know. It was late night. I was probably falling asleep. So I'm gonna go back and watch that because I'm like, wait, where'd it go? It's not here. Where's the new episode? Anyway, so that was me. Let's see. So You Think You Dance is gonna be on tonight. Of course I haven't seen the new episode. Last week they had the top six and they were doing movie dancing because they did Broadway first and music videos the week before that. So it'll be interesting to see what tonight is. Connors, as I mentioned to you this weekend, but to let our listeners know, the Connors is on their way out. I'm not sure if we're, I don't think we're, I think we got just 10 episodes this time, and they've got six more next season, and that's it, and then they're done. So.
Aww.
Sometimes I get sad about it, and then sometimes I don't. And it always takes me back to Modern Family, that was like, as soon as the kids got old enough that they had storylines, you know, it was when, okay, yeah, this is over with, you know, break it down, you know, bring it to, make it just the kids, you know, we don't see the parents anymore. And then they could do their own storyline. Cause the only thing that was keeping me there was the adults. You know, so it
certainly wasn't Darlene.
Oh no, I'm talking about Modern Family.
And oh, the sure.
Thing is happening here where it's just, some episodes seem so lazy that, you know, just like, come on, there's nothing, can't think of any storylines. What?
You know,
it just seems like they're tired. They're done. So, and they will be next year. Let's see. And they're going, they're moving to after Abbott Elementary. I think they've already moved them there for the last few episodes of this season.
That final boost. Although, does it really matter?
No.
It's not like anyone's going, oh, well, I can't change the channel.
Well,
I don't have the pliers to turn the dial.
Where's the kid? He's already in bed. I'm not getting up.
Guess I'm going to have to watch this.
Yeah, so let's see. We had the finale for Ghost this week over on CBS. It'll be back for a fourth season. I've really grown quite fond of Ghost. I didn't think that they could. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, how long can they stretch this out? But they're doing a pretty good job on it. They're introducing new characters. The guy with the arrow through his head, his wife comes to stay there. His real wife, and she accidentally chokes on something, so now she's in the house too. So, you know, you have your cheating wife living with you in the forever, you know. It's like funny. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was funny. Let's see, American Idol, we're down to the top five. I'm not sure.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a show tonight, but I saw last night's episode and they brought it down to five. So I'll know in a few minutes if it's, you know, they tell me, oh, don't forget to vote. And if so, then I know that it's on tonight, but I'll tell you.
So how is voting done these days? Is it still a number or is it texting or Twitter?
It's online. Most people are using the app and on the app.
Oh, sure.
Right. But I think you can text as well. I'm not really sure. Cause I'm really surprised that some of the people that have gone that I thought would be higher and some of the people that are left that I wished had gone. Let's see, on Survivor, they did another backdooring. They got rid of Tiffany this week. She thought it was somebody else, and they pulled up. Yeah, it just keeps going on. Yeah, it's one. Anybody that goes there, and the last two people that have gotten taken out had idols on them to protect them from being voted out. But they were so sure that they weren't going to get voted off. And that's, you know, that's when they do the old switcheroony.
So you have to use the idol, even though you can't be voted off and go, I've got an idol. They have to wager that they're going to be.
Yeah. When they go, is anybody have an idol they want to play? And if no one says yes, then they, yeah, they go to the, sure. They read whatever. So this week on Masked Singer, we were getting down to the last few people. So we got, we lost two this week. One was Corey Feldman from Goonies. And the other one was, it was actually two, and ended up being Ruben Studdard and Clay Aiken from American Idol.
Oh, and what show was this?
This is Masked Singer.
Oh. Oh, well, yeah, Corey. Corey has a band. And then, of course, yeah. Clay and Ruben.
Well, and Ruben and Clay have been touring the past couple of years. I know they're out this summer as well doing concerts. So why not? That's a great send off, you know, right before the summer concert season.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you going to see them if they come?
No. No.
Okay.
Are you?
No. No. I don't go to concerts anymore. They're just too... They're too loud. They're too crowded.
Something tells me that might not be the case for those two.
Well, oh no, I think it probably will be. I mean, even like Barry Manilow concerts are, you know, the girls are screaming.
He's been around 100 years.
But they're screaming at the concert still, you know, it's Barry. Ah! And the thing I really hate about concerts is when people feel they need to stand up and dance. You got a chair, use it.
No one danced when I saw the fifth dimension. Well, the one remaining dimension. There were a couple screamers at the Tom Jones concert. Well, no one screamed at a Lou Rawls concert. No. I don't deal with the shenanigans, I guess, that you have to deal with when you go to all your pop stars. But, you know,
well, when I saw Cher, all I saw were
right, of course. Oh, yeah. Cher, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper.
No. And the other thing is all I saw at the Cher. First of all, I'm watching the Jumbotron because everyone's filming it on their phones in front of me.
Right.
So Cher, if I have to move all the way over to see Cher on stage because some guy thinks he needs to save this moment forever on his fucking phone.
And you think this is going to be a problem at a Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard concert?
Probably. Hey, it happened to me when I saw a drag show.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah. It's like that's why I don't like I like the comedy shows better because you cannot use your phone.
Right.
These things, you know. I mean, they actually when I went to New York, when we were walking into the Comedy Cellar, the guy says, "Oh, I need your phone and your watch." And it's like, okay. And he took from Sean and I, and then he puts it in an envelope, seals it, and goes, "No, you can open this when the show's done. But you put it on your table and leave it there." So
okay. Well, at least you didn't have to check it in because the checkout. Oh, yeah, I hate
that. But this was a really smart way of doing it. They just waste a lot of big envelopes. But I guess if it you work it into the $15 entry fee, which sure. I'm still floored. Anyway, Top Chef this week we lost the cute bearded French guy. He was actually in Top Chef France a few years ago, and he was one of the finalists, and then he came over here to do it, and he's out. Like, I think he's out. He was number 9. But he does get to go to Last Chance Kitchen, and if he can work his way, he'll work his way back onto the show. So we'll see what happens.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm watching MasterChef Junior. I don't know why, but
right. Exactly. Why?
Okay.
Kids,
well, the kids aren't the bad part. It's the, they're trying to, no, it really, this is the bad. Well, some of the kids are just gross, but It's Gordon Ramsay and crew trying to be hilarious for the kids, you know, trying to be
right.
Oh, it's just catering to and the kids are like, oh, you're really dumb. yeah, it's like, oh God, you see, the kids are calling you dumb. Stop it.
Well, yeah, you're watching it.
Yeah, well, shut up.
Now, if Gordon Ramsay were to treat the kids like he treated all the other chefs on the shows, I'd watch that.
Yeah, you'd watch. Yeah. So anyway, the other show I'm seeing, cooking show, well, one of the other cooking shows I'm watching is called 24 and 24. And this is where they get, they started off with 24 chefs and they have to cook consistently throughout 24 hours. You know, if they win, they get to sit down for a little bit. You know, there's different like rest periods, but and no one can sleep, and it's and you've got all the people there. And the one really cool thing is you actually get to watch how they make a show, because you know most cooking shows you're thinking, wow, how do they film all this? There's no crew there, there's no sound people. And this one, you see the sound people, you see the cameraman, you get you see once they're done with a cook, all the workers coming in and cleaning up really quick and moving stuff out. It's sure. It's interesting. Let's see. We're Here. That is the drag queen show on HBO, where they travel from one horrible place to another horrible place, bringing drag to the world. This so far, they're only staying in Tennessee because of the Tennessee law. And I'm starting to worry for them. I mean, I know this was from I think they said it was August last year.
Not changing hearts and minds?
Well, they're trying, but and they're also trying to stay out of jail at the same time.
Sure. So, I mean, it's not like Tu Wong Fu or Priscilla. No. And there's not some closeted old closet case there that ends up falling in love with one of the drag queens after realizing this whole time that he's always preferred chicks with dicks.
No. So
the movies have lied to me.
Yeah. Let's see. Another my dinner with David Chang is still super funny. A super funny show. He just had on Maya Rudolph, she was on, and you could tell because, well, last week they had, who was it? It was one of his friends, you know, somebody who knew him really well. So they were talking all over the place instead of David cooking and talking what he's talking about. They're doing their bits because they think they're supposed to. And you could tell, sure. Maya Rudolph was told, okay, you could be funny, just make sure that we're still talking to David. That was one thing I noticed that was different from the past few weeks. Who's the guy? I can never remember his name. I can't remember. Anyway, Dead Boys Detective. I'm not even high.
Yeah, well.
Maybe I need to be high. Maybe that's the
problem. Sure. Yeah, that always helps.
Yeah. Dead Boy Detectives over on Netflix. Super good show. Very funny about very well. It's not particularly funny. It does have its moments, but it's about these two dead boy detectives, and they only work with the dead. And one of their very first client that we saw them with, she was possessed by a demon, and they got the demon out of her, but the demon stole all her memories. So she's hanging with them until. And working with them until, and she's a psychic, until she gets her memories back from the demon or something happens. And it's cool. The demon keeps showing up and in her head. And it's, I don't know. It's a really good show. It's a really good show. Velma is back on Max.
You're really selling it. Oh boy.
Well, it's Mindy Cohen. It's her,
Kaylin.
Thank you. It's her animated Scooby-Doo show, and it's
it can't be Scooby-Doo because he Hanna-Barbera said we're not releasing our star, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway,
the dog's not in it.
Yeah, it's back though. That's what I'm saying. Season two.
Sure.
Okay.
Great. Have you watched it?
For what episode?
There you go.
Yeah. So, The Circle is back on Netflix, and they've really gotten the production down to where they are. Every episode's a cliffhanger, and the biggest cliffhanger is the one where you're waiting for the next four episodes to drop, or the next episode is going to be the season finale, and that'll be out in a week. It's like, fuckers. Usually I'm pretty good at waiting, but this has been, well, they're and like I said, the production's really, they've got it down to where they make me want more.
Sure.
Deal or No Deal Island is just, you've got, I wish somebody what? Else was, yes, it's new Deal or No Deal Island. It's
why Joe, on an island?
I don't know. Joe from True Blood, the hot,
sure.
Okay.
Sophia Vergara's husband.
Not anymore.
Ex-husband.
Ex-husband. So anyway, he's the host, and the banker is in a yacht parked outside of off the island. And so he has, it's kind of like Survivor meets Deal or No Deal. It's really awful. It's really awful.
That sounds like it's right up your alley.
But yeah, but no, it's, yeah, I'm not loving it. I love Joe, but I'm not loving the show. Hacks is back on Max with,
I saw, yeah.
Saw the first episode, was good. It's good.
What season is this? Is three or four or two? No, it's gotta, I think, be.
It's either three or four. I'd have to look it up. See, this is the problem with not having cable, is that you don't have the cable, you know, guide, and you don't have, it's just so much.
Oh, easy. The days of the TV guide to tell you what you're watching.
Yeah,
The horoscopes in the back. I bet you were always real good at the crossword puzzle.
Oh, yeah, those were easy. What?
Season three.
Okay. Because when, on the crossword puzzle, it would be like RuPaul's drag, four letters start with R.
Sure. Well, you gotta, you know,
yeah,
flex your mind. I always liked the soap opera recaps. That's what I would read at the back.
Okay.
Because, you know, Days of Our Lives is always like same shit, new week. Bo is still waiting for something.
Well, anyway. Where was I? There he is. John Mulaney, he's got a show called Everybody's in LA, and the title refers to the fact that it's Netflix Comedy Week, where they have their big comedy show. They just had Big Mouth I think it was at the Greek Theater, and wait, no, Greek? Is that in Los Angeles?
I know Vicky Carr recorded an album there, Live with the Greek, so probably.
Okay. Anyway, they were at some theater, and they were doing kind of silly stuff from the show. One guy was a couch cushion because, you know, Jay likes to fuck couch cushions. But what happened was John Mulaney, who's also in Big Mouth, sang his song, I'm Gay, from episode two, I think, of season one, and episode three. Anyway, and in the show, he sings with Freddie Mercury, because Freddie Mercury.
Oh, that was the only episode I tried watching, and it was like, oh, yeah, I'm not wasting any more time on this.
And so, but since Freddie Mercury is dead, they had Adam Lambert play him on the show. So, I mean, on the performance that they did live. So I thought that was really funny. But anyway, so everyone's there this to take part of this Netflix thing. So John Mulaney's got a week-long show. It's going to be Friday. It was last Friday. Then it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think. And Friday's the last day. And that's the whole series. And he's doing it live. every day, and they've got little vignettes that they throw in there. It's kind of silly. Well, it's very silly. They had one of those delivery robots on episode one that they couldn't get off the stage, you know, and it kept coming back on and leaving and coming back. And they talked about coyotes a lot.
Well, I just looked at the title of that episode is Coyote. So,
yeah. So
there you go.
Let's see. And the last two things are Stephen Sondheim things. First, Sweeney Todd closed in New York yesterday.
Which you saw. So lucky you.
So no one needs to attend the tale. And Saturday night, I saw Into the Woods.
So did I.
Yes. And it was a show.
It was certainly a show.
Yeah, it had its. It, I mean, there were some people that were very good singers, and
you know,
and they were all female.
Yeah,
and when I mean, because let's face it, Jack was the best singer of the men, and that's not saying a whole lot. And what were those girls in the center that kept screaming every time he came on, you know?
They were screaming for all of them. Well, most of them, I imagine, because we were in a college town, that a lot of those people in the cast were probably students, and you know, that was their friends that were comped that evening or whatever. Although for $20, I mean, do you really need to? Well, $20 is $20.
Yeah, and you're a college student, so
right. So yeah, no, I just figured that they were other college kids there supporting their friends and whatnot. Boop a doo. What was the girls singing? Oh, so the baker, who did not have a great voice, in the lobby, yet, I noticed
what has most of the songs in the show. Yes,
go right. Ahead. So yeah. Well, and I mean, it's Sondheim, so he always has weird keys. And, you know, all these weird incidentals with flats and sharps. And the orchestra, wherever they were, the violin was always a little bit out of key. Mm-hmm. And then this guy, as he sang, was always out of key. I'm like, well, is it him? Is it the violin? Is it everything? Because none of this is going together. But his family, I saw, was in the lobby. And what do you do when you have a child, let's say, who's in college, 20-something, mid early 20s, and he's like, because I read his bio, and he's traveling back and forth between here and the Bay Area looking for theater and doing as much theater as he can when musical theater is not his calling. Just being the parent of someone who is so lacks the talent, what do you do knowing that you're wasting money sending this kids to college, although I'm assuming he's in college, for a career that's going to go nowhere?
You're talking about me, aren't you?
I don't know. Did your parents pay for your college? I didn't think you went to college. I thought you ran off to L.A.
No, that was after college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And to do things that were never going to turn out. And, you know, now. Yeah. Blah. Okay.
But, you know, at the end of the show, where do they go, oh, you were... Good job, buddy.
Well, you know, parents always, but most of the time are very, you know, positive with their comments.
Sure. Then that's what I'm saying. When you have a kid, whether they're in high school or at this age, college, when he should have learned by now, it ain't in the cards for him.
Well, I'd be a good actor, but it's hard to tell when you can't sing in a musical theater. Yeah. There were, it's not like he was the only one, you know.
And right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, but that's the problem with community theater is it's too gay for straight guys to do. And the, you know, the gay guys don't want to do community theater. They want to do big theater. And it's just,
I think. Where are the men? going, being as close to San Francisco, being as close to Los Angeles, you know, if you're going to, maybe not for theater LA, but it's San Francisco for sure. You know, that's going to draw them away from our little backwoods town.
Yeah, but I still would think that with Davis right there, Sacramento right here, all together, that we couldn't get a whole cast of men that can sing. And the thing is that there's not a whole lot of men in the show. So it's not like this is a hard thing to do. I'm thinking, because you've got Cinderella's father, you've got the baker.
Who didn't sing. He just had a couple lines.
Yeah. I heard him sing during some of the chorus things, and it wasn't good. The wolf, he was a pretty decent singer. I'm just not sure, you know, when he was the prince,
and he was the gayest wolf I've ever seen.
Yeah, and the other prince, he was just not good.
Yeah.
And yeah, because agony was really agony. And so you've got six guys, including the narrator. I don't know why they didn't make the narrator a female. I know because he has to change later on, but you know, this is all about deception. You could, they love putting beards on women, so that would have worked fine too.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's but that last note with no one is alone, that the whole cast sang together in four or five keys. Yeah, that was
sure.
Good. Yeah,
they hit the notes.
Well, they hit something. Yeah,
all the notes.
Yeah. And it's weird because the very first time I saw Into the Woods on stage was at that theater 30 years ago, and it was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know. Okay.
You said 30 years ago?
Yeah.
No. I don't know what that means, but it's been 30 years.
You're just age shaming. I know what this is.
I am. How old are you? Three decades ago.
Yeah, when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost 20. Oh, how time flies.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do this week?
So outside of the Conners, I read tried reading The Marble Faun, which after Death in Venice, Thomas Mann, that whole thing last week or the last time we recorded, with the tie-in with Grey Gardens, you know, Grey Gardens, she's talking about little Edie is talking about Jerry, their handyman. She's like, oh, the Marble Faun. So I wanted to complete that circle. I got through half of it, and it's Nathaniel Hawthorne. He also wrote The Scarlet Letter. Basically what he did is he wrote this travelogue of Italy it was beautiful prose. And he was describing all these places in Italy, and you know, it's 1890 something. So it was, like I said, it was a travelogue. So he's describing all these scenarios and places and the art that was there and how the art is in relation to other art and towers and artifacts that are there. And then he's like, oh, by the way, there's also four characters in the story. So there'd be pages and pages and pages of description of where these characters are, and then he'd give a paragraph of actual plot. It was so boring. It was like an art film in a book where, you know, the camera just slowly pans across the...
You're talking about Marie Antoinette, aren't you? I know what you're talking about.
And you're like, something has to happen. Something has to happen. No, nothing has to happen.
No, she's just going to take a four-hour walk back to the castle.
So that was The Marble Faun. Like I said, I got through half of it after the murder. I realized that I can't sift through the bullshit to read about the plot that I don't care about. I read Peyton Place from 1956, which was so interesting to me, because you've got your two main characters, Constance McKenzie and Selena Cross, Constance has a bastard child, and that's her big secret. So, and anyone to, if you're not familiar, Peyton Place is this classic novel, one of the first super trashy novels about small town secrets. Anyway, it spawned movies and soap operas.
It was a series.
Yeah.
It was a series after the book came out, and it was scandalous, and it came on 10 o'clock at night on, I think, like a Sunday or something. So
the
kids are gonna be in bed and mom can watch all she wants.
And some of the scandal, I mean, so like I said, you've got your two main characters. You got Constance McKenzie, and her big scandalous secret is she has a bastard child. She got knocked up out of wedlock. The guy died, so it was never like she had to worry about the father coming back. She was able to fool.
That could have been a good storyline.
Right, exactly. So that's never an issue. It's just she's got this bastard child that she doesn't want to tell the child that she's a bastard. Again, big secret. The other character story arc is Selena Cross, who gets raped by her drunken stepfather, gets pregnant, and then has an abortion, murders him, and then goes to trial. So the fact that these two scandals are kind of like equal to each other, bastard child and incest, it just kills me.
Okay, the one with the bastard child, what was, was she rich?
No, they were trash that live in tar paper shacks at the edge of town. Okay,
then why would she care?
Well, she did work for Constance. I mean, that was the main driver of the plot. Outside of Constance fussing over her bastard daughter, it was Selena. And then there was all kinds of other secrets, like the town drunks got together and spent all winter in a basement drinking themselves almost to death. There's a boy named Norman.
Where is that? That sounds like a good party.
What, you want to get your foot cut off? Because one of them cut the other guy's foot. He cut his own foot off trying to unlock a door that wasn't locked.
Not the penis. Okay.
And then we've got a boy and his mother that have too close of a relationship. We've got a preacher who is now Protestant, who was born the Catholic, and the town doesn't trust that he's really turned away from the Catholic Church. Like, that's the big scandal, which, I mean, I guess in 1956, having a Protestant that used to be a Catholic was the scandal. You know, I remember growing up in my small town, we had one Catholic church, and boy, the Lutherans and the Methodists are like, oh, fucking crazy Catholics. It's just, I don't, again, the fact that these are scandals and still scandals today in some communities from 1956. Watch the movie, very sanitized. She did get raped by her stepfather, but she lost the baby instead of getting an abortion, because I think that would have been just a little too much. And then there was a sequel to the book that I don't think, because the other main characters, so Constance, her daughter Allison, who is a total cunt throughout the whole book, she's just an unlikable little bitch. I think the sequel focuses on her, and I was like, no, thank you. And now I am 75% through Gore Vidal's Myra Breckinridge, which I've seen the movie twice, and it's awful, just awful.
Terrible.
But the book really closely follows the movie, which is very interesting. The problem I have, and I like I said, I'm 75% the way through Myra just raped Rusty with a strap on. But so much of Gore Vidal, which just kills me because he's such an esteemed writer, that here he is writing a book about a transsexual who uses a strap-on to rape a male, whom is the idea of masculinity. She's raping him to break down the masculine ideal so that feminism and the new era of the woman can come forward, which of course the book is a satire based on everything that was going on in 1968 with the Olympics, the feminist movement, and the after Stonewall, the changing of sexual norms and whatnot. The book relies so much on knowledge of movies from the 40s that I was trying to look up all the different references, but I couldn't keep up with it. I'd have to stop every couple pages to look up to see what Myra was talking about. It's kind of sad, I think, that there's going to be a very few people whoever, if they read this book, and as further we get into the future, are going to know exactly who these people are that she's referring to. I don't even think you would know a handful of the characters without really thinking about what they were in and what they've done.
Yeah, probably not. It's really interesting when you get a movie that talks about pop culture from a different time period, and if you have no real knowledge of that, it's like actually one of my plays where I kept making references to David Cassidy and his brother Sean Cassidy, and it's like I would have to update the entire script with all the pop culture references I had in that script to today's standards. That was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years after I saw Into the Woods. I get that. And yeah, you have to, I don't know. I don't know what they would do because the rest of the show would not play again. I mean, who's going to watch that?
Myra Breckinridge?
Yeah. Do you think it ever made a midnight show kind of showing? Was it at midnight?
And the movie itself just isn't great. And I'm not sure why it doesn't work. Gore Vidal hated it, but he does like the book. He's proud of the book. And he does address a lot of different social and the changing of the norms at the time. And in fact, it's odd to read some of the stuff that he's writing, which is being repeated now. Myra is writing that the machine has replaced man. So masculinity has become a costume. You put on your boots, you drive your big truck, you dress like what the ideal man was, but no longer has to be, which is the exact same bullshit that we've got on Fox News now saying, or you look at any Republican who dresses in Carhartts and a camo hat, even though they've never, their hands are squishy soft. It's, the exact same thing 40 years ago. Right. It's amazing to me that how much hasn't changed. But I'll finish it probably this week. Okay. And then there's a sequel to it called Myron, but I can't find that. But there you go.
Okay. Well, we are almost out of time, so we'll talk to you next week.